Amen. If we'd bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that you are here. And that, Father, was with a great purpose that you came. You didn't come to put on a show. You didn't come, Lord, just to be here. But you came for a very purpose, Lord, of gathering together your saints, bringing forth a mind change, Father, bringing forth your glory in us, your opinion, your assessment. Lord, your great assessment, the value in which you have placed in your own word, that value, that assessment, that glory, which is your doxa, Father, that has come into your bride in this hour, that we might have the same mind, that we might be made ready for the adoption. And so, Father, we see all these things that you are doing. You're continuing, Lord, to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And, Father, you're continuing to open to us your word to help us, Lord, to understand the words which were spoken by yourself through your prophet, Lord, as you came with a shout, which is a message. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that message, knowing that it's not finished, Father, until the voice of the resurrection. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would keep us in touch and in tune with you and your spirit. Keep us in your mind, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if we'd open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 12 for our text this morning. We don't have a very long message, but it's a very wonderful message from the Lord. And verse 12, he says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." May the Lord add his blessings to his word. Now, that's quite a statement. He that hath the Son of hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, because there's many who claim that, well, they don't claim to have the Son. In fact, some claim that, you know, he just went back to gases. He's kind of evaporated somehow, and that we're just dealing with the one God, and of course God was a Son, and God was his own, you know, Son, and he was his own Father, and all that kind of stuff. And they've really done away with the Son of God. And, you know, that's like doing away with my older brother. I mean, he is my older brother. And but the verse says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So this morning we're going to continue in our mini-series concerning the benefits of the revelation of the doctrine of Christ. And this will be number 5 in our series. And today we'll speak from our text, which we read, that he that hath... Now, I want to focus on this word hath. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, this is quite a statement that the Apostle John has given us, and since we believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, that's 1 Timothy 3:16, then these words were not the words of John. These were the words of God. They were the words of God given to us through God's servant John. Now, our studies concerning the benefits we receive by and through the Son of God has its inception from those very strong and notable words that we found concerning the doctrine of Christ. And we found that in 2 John verse 9. So if you turn with me to 2 John verse 9, we're going to read it. Because here we find very strong language concerning the doctrine of Christ that says, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people, or shall we say twins. And he's contrasting to us the difference between these two different types of people. First of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. Now, the word transgress used in this verse of Scripture was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made up from two words coming together. The word para, which speaks of location, it speaks of proximity or vicinity, and the word beno, which means to walk or to keep pace. Placed together, it speaks of not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Now, we have used that term and going beyond the limits many times in our sermons, but I like this other idea of not keeping pace. Because there's a certain pace that God has us. If you're going to run a race, you have to have a certain pace. Adam and Brother Jim and riding horses, there's a certain pace. If you keep a certain pace, it's just like floating on air. But if you get into another pace, it's pretty rugged. And so this word baino means to keep pace, all right? And it also means to, it speaks of going, of walking. And so the word para, which means vicinity, this is speaking then of going beyond the vicinity, going beyond the limits, you see. So we're talking about this transgression means that you're not staying in the Word. You're going beyond. You're looking for other things. You're looking for some little thing here, some little thing there to stimulate you, but it's not in the Word. And how do we know to stay in the Word in this hour? We've got a vindicated prophet that brought it. Now, if you've got little revelations of your own that are outside of what that prophet brought, you better let them go. They're not worth your salvation. You see? Because one word off is Satan's kingdom. One word off is Satan's kingdom. So if you get these little revelations that come to you and you think it's some great thing, and the prophet didn't say it, and didn't even give you a clue as to it. I mean, look, not just some mystical thing like, people always looking for some black hole in the sky or some weird thing. If the prophet didn't make it plain, because Paul said we don't use confusing language, we plainly speak the word of God. And if it's not in this word, and it's not from what the prophet brought out of this word, then forget it. It's going to take you down a black hole someplace. You see? A bottomless pit. It has no foundation to it. That's the Catholic Church. A bottomless pit has no foundation to it. Now, therefore, first of all, then we find that he's speaking of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. And as we mentioned, the word transgress means to go beyond the limits. Therefore, we can read this verse as whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, we have two words that we're looking at in this verse of Scripture. To transgress, which we already understand is to not keep pace with, to go beyond the limits. And then the word hath. What does it mean? He doesn't hath God. He hath not God. What does it mean? He hath not the Father and the Son. Or he hath both the Father and the Son. So we see the comparison John is speaking of here has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those who will not keep pace with, and thus will not abide in or remain in, and thus to go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. And then he tells us that those who will not keep pace with or remain in the doctrine of Christ do not have God, hath not God. While those who remain in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now it is this word hath that I wish to examine this morning, because we find this word hath used in both our text and this most important scripture of 2 John verse 9 concerning the doctrine of Christ. And once you understand what this word hath means, you will understand that the same thing is being spoken of here in both of these scriptures, showing the consistency of the Word of God. Now, in examining this word hath, we find the word was used, translated from the Greek word echo, which is used over 600 times, I believe 610 times to be exact, throughout the Scriptures. The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including it means to have or to hold. Both usages show possession or relationship. And so we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship, whether directly or whether remotely. And thus the main strength of usage concerning this word has to do with continuity of relationship. It speaks of a continuity. Now the word continuity means, number one, a state or quality of being continuous. I want you to think in terms of hath. He that echoes is a state or quality of being continuous. Now what does that mean? Well, if you say, Ron, let's just do an example. Say, just yell something out. Just yell a word.
Goodbye.
Hello. Now, was that continuous? He said goodbye and I echoed back, hello. Did I really echo? No. How many of you ever sing in the shower? All right. Does your shower echo? A little bit? All right. Is it a different song that's in the shower when you're singing? No. You see, it's continuity. That's what an echo is all about. That's what the word hath means. It's talking about continuity. You see? Now look, when we begin to examine this, you're going to find out how important that is. Because see, if God gives you a certain word and you don't give that certain word, you're not in a continuity with God. So the echo, the back, echoing back what what God has given is showing there's a continuity that shows an understanding. That you're right in the conduit of God. You see? All right. Now, it also means an uninterrupted succession. An uninterrupted succession. I don't say, hello, and then I wait 10 minutes later, and then I get, maybe. It's an uninterrupted succession or flow. I say, hello, and it says, hello, and maybe a little less, hello, hello. The same expression, but as it fades into the distance, you hear it less and less and less. But it goes out plumb into eternity. You drop a pea into the water, drop a little rock into the water, and you'll see not just one ripple. You'll see a succession of ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple. But it goes out and out and out, and the further away it gets from the source, the weaker the ripple becomes. The further away we get from the original spoken word, the less and less and less, the more faint that echo becomes. Okay? So we're looking at this word echo. It means a coherent whole. Not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-E. A coherent whole. He descends with a shout. A message. And so what comes after? A message. A message. A message. He descends with a shout. And you say, what do you say? A shout. What do you say? A shout. The same thing every time. It's a coherent whole. You see? Now, also it means a detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. I thought that's very interesting. They call it a continuity. It's a detailed script or scenario. Now, picture the Word of God being acted out in this hour. A detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot. In other words, the echo keeps the whole thing together. Now, as you can see, all these descriptive meanings show the attributes of what an echo really is. The purpose of an echo, then, is to bring about continuity, an uninterrupted succession or flow, so to speak, to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot, or, shall we say, from voice to voice. If we were to be more scripturally accurate, it would be from voice to voice. Thus, you can see that an echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflections and dynamics of the original speech time and time again as it proceeds forth in its course of life. Thus, the spoken word, we know, is the original seed. And as a seed is subject to the commands of God concerning all seeds, and God spoke in Genesis 1 in verse 11, He said, every seed must bring forth after its kind. After its own nature. Well, if the spoken word is the original seed, then each seed that comes forth or comes off of that spoken word must have the same nature, must reflect the same nature. There's your echo. Hallelujah. Then each time the voice of God speaks, whether through a vindicated prophet of God or someone reflecting what that prophet said, it'll bring the same results. Amen. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or repeat what that seed is. And if the original spoken word is a seed, then that spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be behind it. Because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats it over and over again, and the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with it the same expression and dynamics, and it will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. Now that paragraph needs study. I'm going to read it one more time. because there was a lot said there. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, in other words, we're talking about sons of God. We're talking about the Son of God. Now we're talking about sons of God. There must be an ability to echo or repeat what that seed is. And if the original spoken word is the seed, then that spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original seed will be behind it. Because the expression of or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over and over again. And the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with it the same expression and dynamics and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. That's why when you heard Brother Vail come along after Brother Branham and he preached the same message Brother Branham brought, it brought the same results as far as your life. It should have cleaned you up. It should have made you feel sanctified and consecrated. And that's why when it comes forth here, I believe if it's being done the same way, you're going to get the same result. You're also going to get the same hatred against it. You see? Because it'll produce the same thing. It'll produce a setting free. How many people, when they heard Brother Bram's voice, they felt set free from denomination? We have the same thing all over the world. The same thing, brothers say, boy, since I've heard this word, this doctrine, it's really set me free. It's helped me to know to who I am and to really know that I know. It's helped me to come to a relaxation, you see. Now, years ago, I heard Brother Vail preach a sermon called the Omega Reflection, 1984. He preached it twice. Columbus, Ohio, and I can't remember where the other place was. Some place down, I think Brother Bob Brown's church down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And it spoke about when Moses came down from the mountain, and his face were aglow from the presence of the Lord. And the people made him put a veil over his face because they were afraid of his face glowing from the Shekinah glory of God. And Brother Vail went on to speak of how the prophet is in direct line with the light or the pillar of fire. And as he reflects it, if the people would have just stood there and that light was reflecting from Moses' face, if they would have just stood there and shut up and listened, they too would have begun to reflect that same glory. Now use the illustration of a light, standing in front of a light. He said, turn off all the lights, stand in front of a mirror. And in 2 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, Behold, we look in the glass, we see the glory of the Lord. You see, the glass is the mirror. So behold, you know, we look in the mirror of the Word, and well, let's just turn to it. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with an open face, it means no veil, no creeds, denominational creeds, with an open face, beholding as in a glass at the mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what Brother Vail brought out was this. He said, if you stand before a mirror, shut all the lights off, you could have your face 6 inches from that mirror, and if there's no light in that room, you won't see yourself. Your presence is there, the mirror is there, but there's no reflection. Why? Because there's no light. So it takes light to reflect. So if you just open the door a little bit and let just a little sliver of light come in, you begin to see maybe your forehead, tip of your nose, those things which stand out a little bit, you begin to see those things. If you have on a white shirt, you begin to see the white shirt. If you have on a black shirt, you won't see anything. All right, that's why, you know, they used to have the mimes. They would have their white gloves on, they'd have their face painted white, and that's all you saw. And they stand in front of a black curtain with black clothes on, and when they, you know, when you look through the film or the camera, you see them do it. What's the name of the comedian used to do that? You know, the guy, Red Skelton. Red Skelton used to do that once in a while. All you can see is the hands moving. You know, the gestures of the hands and the impressions on his face and the faces he would make and things like that. You couldn't see anything else. All right? But now as you let a little more light in, you begin to see more and more and more. What is it? You're seeing light. Because you were there, the mirror was there, but you couldn't see anything. So what you're seeing is light. And he says, but we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's the very mind of God, the doxa of God, are changed into the same image, the same opinion, the same assessment, the same judgment. from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he says, look, we look in the mirror of the Lord and we see the Lord. We look in the mirror of the Word and we see the Lord. We see the light. And we're changed into that same image. And if the people would have stood there long enough, and that Shekinah glory that came forth from Moses' face would have shined upon them. But I want you to understand something. When Moses came down, that Shekinah glory was brilliant. And as time went on, it faded. And that's what happens. The closer you are to the source, the louder the echo is. And via time or via space, that echo weakens and begins to drift off. Now, it doesn't completely go away, but it's so minute, so small, that you barely hear it. Now, in the Church Age book, Smyrnian Church Age, Brother Brown said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. And remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said in 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, or they take away there, and soon the echo, well, it says the message, soon the message is no longer pure. Soon the echo is no longer an echo. Why? Because you added here, you took there. Or came it unto you. Okay, excuse me. He said they add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messenger, and then say what he has been given them to say to the churches. So you see, we're talking about an echo. And what is a true echo? It's to say what has been said in the same way that it was said. Now, those pastors that would say they use this one quote of Brother Branham's. Brother Branham was talking about Lot's wife not having a revelation of her own. And he talked about how she was just following her husband. And then, almost in a sense of humor way, Brother Branham says, the pastor is a husband, spiritually speaking. If you take the entire quote in the way Brother Branham said it, he said people were just following a pastor. Lot's wife was just following a pastor, had no revelation of her own, just following a man, and that's why she turned, that's why she stopped. She looked back. But what men have done in this message, you don't find this being taught in the Pentecostal churches or the charismatic churches or the Catholic Church, and that's that Nicolaitan spirit behind it. But basically, they teach it without using Brother Ram's quote anyway. But notice they take the quote, the words. The pastor is the husband, spiritually speaking. But they're not quoting it the same way he said. Therefore, they're not echoing. You see? Because an echo gives the same dynamics. It gives the same inflection. It brings forth the same meaning. Like I said, we could say, William Branham, prophet of God. Well, that's kind of got a declarative sentence to it. William Branham, prophet of God. Or we could say, William Branham, prophet of God. By saying the very same words, you've now put doubt into what was being said. Or like men will say, God gave birth to himself a son. Well, Brother Branham said, God gave birth to himself a son. And they say, God gave birth to himself. Now, how could God give birth to himself? Well, Brother Branham said it. No, he didn't say it. Not that way he didn't say it. He didn't say God gave himself birth. He said he gave birth to a son. He himself gave birth to a son. And that's what he's saying. So you can have the same words, but if the expression is not there, if the dynamic is not behind it, then you have no life in it. You see? Okay. Now that we know what the Greek word is that was translated for the word hath, let's read two verses of Scripture over again and see how our understanding changes as we read them. Notice in 2 John verse 9, because here we find very strong language concerning the doctrine of Christ that says, whosoever transgresses, that means abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now again, let's plug in our understanding of what that scripture is saying and use the actual wording that best fits the scripture. Whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. Wow. Becomes very plain, doesn't it? And why is that? Because if you do not keep pace with, then you are either speeding up or you're slowing down. And an echo cannot speed up, nor can it slow down. It must say it just as it was said. That is why Brother Bram said, say it like the tapes say. Because he was saying it on those tapes, just like God had said it to him. And John continues, he that abideth, which means to remain in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. Now let's examine that in light of our text verse this morning. 1 John 5 and verse 12. He that echoes the Son, hath or echoes life. And he that hath not, that means he that cannot echo the Son of God, hath not life or cannot echo life. You see how simple that becomes. Then if you cannot echo the Son, and you cannot echo life itself, for God is life. For you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus also said in St. John 5, 19 and 30, the Son can of himself do nothing. But whatsoever he, the Son, seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Why? Because the original seed, the spoken word, God. Notice, God did it, God said it, and what did Jesus do? He just echoed it. You see that? He was God's echo. Then what are you and I to be as sons? God's echo. Jesus was the full portion. The first time you shout, that shout comes back just as loud, just as plain, in full measure, but each time afterwards, just a little bit smaller. Same dynamic, same expression, same words, only just a little less. And each time down, it goes a little less, a little less, a little less. And so God speaks it to his Son, and then he speaks it again through his messenger, and then he speaks it again through the fivefold, and then he speaks it again through you. Hallelujah. What a tremendous thing to understand how we fit in to the very Word of God. We are the Word of God if we are His echo. Amen. He said, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. He also said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. And he said, the things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say, and that's what I teach. And so we see that the Son of God reflected or echoed the Father in every detail. And thus, he that can echo the Son will echo life, for God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both the Father and the Son. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we also will echo the Father. For an echo is not a one-time event, but happens over and over and over again. Then Jesus, who is the first fruit, was the first repeat of the Father to us. And as we catch the vision
and are conformed to the image of his Son, that's Romans 8, then we also will do nothing unless the Father shows us first. And what we teach are the commandments from the Father, given to us through the first echo of his Son. And thus, as we echo them to others, they are repeated again and again and again, showing the Word is living and abiding in us. Just like your heart pumping shows that you're alive. Well, praise God! I'm alive! And your heart's not pumping. The very fact that your heart pumps again and again and again and again and keep pumping and keep pumping and keep pumping shows you're alive. The very first sign you look for in a person is either breathing again and again and again. You put your hand up by their nose to feel if there's any breath. Then you check their heart to make sure it's pumping. And if it's not pumping and there's no breath coming forth, they're dead. Comatose. And if there is not an echo in the church, then that church is dead. Amen? Hallelujah. And notice, as in the natural, the heart pumping again shows you that you have been made alive, or you are alive. Thus, your echoing the Word of God again and again shows that you have been made alive in Christ. And notice, as in the natural, the heart pumping, the blood, which is the life is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is the evidence that you are alive in the natural, so too in the spiritual, whereas the heart in the spiritual represents our understanding, then thus as the understanding echoes the Word of God over and over and over again, it is an evident token that you have been made alive in Christ, that your understanding is pumping, 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 echoing, echoing, echoing the very life of God. And the life that was in the Father and given to the Son, it hath quickened you. And you are alive, showing that he and his life is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That is why Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that liveth, but Christ that's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, out from the Son of God, his faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, Paul is saying, since I was crucified with Christ, I am living by his faith, his revelation, and thus as a result, the life by which he lived, I too am living. And thus we see the life which was in the Father being passed along to his Son and then on to sons. The echo moving down. The life of God moving down. And so we see that whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo the Son of God will also echo the Father who is life. Now let's look back at this word echo, or this word hath again, in reference to the effect that it has upon those who possess the ability to echo versus those who cannot. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12 we read, for whosoever hath, in other words, whosoever echoes, or of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. And why is that? Because the very nature of an echo is to have more and more and more and more of the same. But whosoever hath not, whosoever is not of such a nature as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath, even that which he is able to repeat. Now, I've heard men in this message, they just quote, quote, quote. Quote, quote, quote is not an echo, unless you're saying it the same way, with the same emphasis, with the same dynamic. In other words, unless the same thought is coming forth. Then it's just like a parrot. You know, Polly want a cracker, Polly want a cracker. But if you're truly echoing the same life that was in the Father, in his Son, in sons, is now coming forth from as an expression from you. That's why last night's message was so important about love, because love is an expression. You see, faith and love go hand in hand, as we brought out last night. Now, notice in 1 John, now the term life is used 23 times in the New Testament. But in my examining each usage of the term hath life,
I found that the word hath was not always translated from the Greek word echo. And to my amazement, the only time that it was not taken from the word echo is when it referred to something that God was doing, because God doesn't echo. God gives it one time. Mm-hmm. Now, those thoughts of God may have been echoing in God, but an echo is something that is given, is manifested. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because God does not echo. His spoken word is the original seed. It's not the echo. It's the original. But each time that word reflects from one to the next, it is echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but we echo what he said. Notice in 1 John 3 and verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murder hath, echoes, eternal life abiding in him. Now that word is echo. So we see that no murder can echo life. But as we examine 1 John 5 and verse 11, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. But here we do not see the word echo used. The word hath there is an interpolation and is not the original Greek. Simply put, God, not God hath given, but God gave to us eternal life. God didn't echo to us eternal life. God gave us eternal life. All right? This is the record that God hath given. No, not God had, not God echoed. But this is the record that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. All right? We have already seen the usage of the verse in 1 John 5 and verse 12, he that hath echoes the Son, echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. Now in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, we read, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now the Greek word that the word hath was translated from was not echo, but didomi, which means to give. Thus then God gave to the Gentiles, but nowhere here does it say that God echoed to the Gentiles. John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath, echoes no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Notice, if you're going to, no greater love echoes like than a man lay down his life for a friend. So the echo is the expression. No greater love hath no man than this. No greater love has echoed no man than this, that he lays down his life for a friend. Why? Because Jesus did it. Then we do it. And finally, John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath, or echoes, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5 and verse 26, for as the Father hath echoed him, life in himself. Notice, in himself. Well, when was that? It's before the expression. When you were still in the thoughts of God. When the Bible says Brother Bram used the term, he said when God, thought, and God kind of milled over his plan. You know, so God's echoing in his mind. How many ever had to give a speech? You know, back in school, 3-minute speech. What are you doing? In your mind, you're echoing over and over and over again. And so God began the process back in himself. But God didn't echo to us. God gave us the original seed. We echo back what God has given. All right? Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. For as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And that word have is echo. All right? John 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. John 6 and verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood echoes eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Revelation 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear echoes. He that is of such a nature as to be able to hear and thus echo, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. John 20 and verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And finally, in John 5 and verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Let me just go back to this one again. Yeah. All right. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." What's going to happen? What is a resurrection? It's life coming back, right? What's an echo? It's the life coming back again and again and again. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little study this morning. Realizing, Father, that one of the great benefits of your Son is that we saw the echo from you. The spoken word is the original seed, and through your Son we saw the process by which the life comes down because it's echoed. And therefore, when we are conformed to the image of your Son, we come the same way. We echo that word which is echoed first through your Son, which came from you, the original seed, or the original word. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this process. We thank you, Father, that the life is carried down through that process, and that with each process, as the words are spoken, the same inflection, the same dynamics, the same spirit. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." And so the very same word comes down through that echo from time to time to time again. That's why people could be born again under the ministry of William Branham. The same words could be spoken under another ministry and they'd be born again. And then someone that was born again under that ministry could hear those same words and speak those same words, and that would bring life to that other to other people. And we've seen it, Father, all around the world. We've gone to these places. We've spoken the same things your prophet spoke. And these brothers have taken it out into the villages, and they've spoken it. And ministers out in those villages have taken it now, and they've spoken it. And people are coming to, they're coming alive everywhere, Father. And so we see, Father, the process. We see that your word has life. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're so thankful for that life, that you've made us come alive, Lord. And now we just ask for an infilling, Father, of your divine presence, your divine word, Lord, that it might just touch it and take a hold of every fiber of our body. For your prophet said, when word is piled upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of our body. And we commit that process to thee. For we know that we are changed by the renewing of our mind. So it takes a mind change. And Father, we're asking for that mind change. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to that process which you have started by that shout, because we know that the scripture says a shout, and that's the only way an echo can come forth, is there's got to be a shout first. It's not just some whisper. We don't get echoes from whispers. We don't get echoes from hidden secret things. We get echoes from a great shout. And so Father, we're glad that you came down. We're tremendously happy, Lord, that you came down with a shout, that Lord, we might begin to reflect that shout, and because it's bringing life to others everywhere, Lord. And we just commit it unto thee, Lord, your process, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I could just run around the church right now. Leap over buildings. Do you realize what God has committed unto us? The spirit of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Through his divine word, taking a hold of our mortal beings. Saying the same things he said. Getting the same results he did.